Magnus, we're looking at international markets fueling positive sentiment on the local front. Jobs data out of the US really better than was expected, and that is fueling positivity across the board. Of course, market commentators are also cautious because of the tensions in the Middle East, and that continues to escalate. Would be really interesting to get your take on the international dynamics that are impacting us at the moment.
Yes, Bronwyn, good day. I mean, whenever you look at markets, you have to start in the United States. We all tend to think that the JSE and South Africa is the centerpiece of the world and we determine what happens in markets, but that's not the case. We're a very small player in the global thing. So it's all driven by what's happening in the United States in particular and in the global market. And so what do we have right now? We have a phenomenal bull market in the United States. It just hasn't stopped this year. Whether you look at the NASDAQ, you look at the S&P 500, and more recently, you even look at the smaller caps. And I noticed Alec has started buying the smaller caps in the United States. It's been on a tremendous tear. And then you have the classical formula when the United States cuts interest rates, markets all over the world boom, including South Africa. We benefited tremendously. So we've had a very good month and a good quarter in South Africa. We had the rand strengthening, perhaps overshot in my view in the short term. And you look at emerging markets starting to make a comeback, South Africa, China with its stimulatory package. So it's all going well right now. Whether your money is offshore, you're making money in dollar terms, making money in rand terms, all the asset classes in South Africa are running. So long may it last, but.
I can't interrupt you there. Go ahead with the but.
The but is, of course, what could happen in the Middle East that could derail this very Goldilocks scenario. That could derail it. It depends what happens between Israel and Iran, Hezbollah, Hamas. So that's something one has to look at. And then just for some added fun and spice to markets, we have the U.S. presidential elections coming up in less than 30 days. And, you know, now people are starting to ask, who is better for markets? Is it going to be Trump or is it going to be that other lady?
Who do you believe is better for markets? Everyone talking about the Trump trade. Are you in that camp?
You know, I believe that Trump will be better for your markets. And we don't want to talk politics, but I think he'll be more decisive in decisions that he'll take. Whereas the Democrats have got a very slant towards socialism, more taxes, more intervention, which generally markets wouldn't like in the United States. So I'm a Trump man, I'm afraid to say. And I think if he does win, I think it'll be good for markets and good for a stronger rand. I beg your pardon, a stronger currency, which might impact the rand. But that is the nature of markets. We don't 100% know. We have to diversify our bets, and it's not a horse race. We put all the money on one horse and hope that horse wins. It can break its leg.
We've got another rally or another bevy of key economic data coming out of the US, but at the moment sentiment is that we will see an additional interest rate cuts out of the US Federal Reserve in November of another 25 basis points, and all things being equal, obviously bearing in mind what you have said about the tensions in the Middle East, but that should continue to fuel the positivity around markets. As you say, interest rate cuts are stimulatory. And effectively, we will rally on the back of that news. Just in terms of your thoughts on gold with potential safe haven status with those Middle East tensions, what are your thoughts?
Look, gold has proven the last 10 to 15 years that it's been an excellent investment. The last year, exceptionally good. You know, it has been a safe haven away from a lot of uncertainties. It's a pity that the South African investing public is not that invested in gold. It's very difficult to get invested directly into gold as a South African on the South African market. You can buy Kruger Rands over the counter at the bank, and there's gold ETFs, but you cannot buy on any platform in South Africa direct holding in gold. You can do that offshore, so there are ways and means of doing it. And gold has done what it normally does in historical times. It's done well. It's protected value, not necessarily runaway capital gains. So it is playing its role. Gold at $2,600-$700,000 an ounce is an astonishingly high level, and it's been rising ever since Gordon Brown sold all of the UK's gold, or most of the gold, when the price was $250 or so 25 years ago.
You said the rand is overcooked, in your opinion. You believe that we're going to see it going weaker from the current stronger levels that we've been seeing of late?
Look, at the beginning of the year when the rand was at 1930 and 1940, I spoke to Alec and I said, I will not take money out of the country at 1940 iron. But everybody and his man was suddenly now recommending offshore investing. There were seminars and webinars and who knows what, but I said, no, 19, I cannot say that. At 17, or anywhere around 17, I say now is perhaps a time to consider taking money out. You are taking out at a very, very nice discount. What the short-term movements in the rand will be, nobody really knows. It all depends on so many factors. So the rand will hover around the current levels. It's being affected by interest rate differentials, uncertainty in the Middle East, and also a renewed focus on emerging markets. That's one where one has to look at what's going to determine the rand, and of course, China. If China stimulates its economy, it will be good for South Africa. That is for sure, because they buy our stuff.
Magnus, at the recent BizNews Investment Conference, you spoke about your interest in property in South Africa, and just looking at Calgro M3, they're in the property game and their results coming out today. Just your take on that potential to play property in South Africa and where specifically you would be buying.
Well, on the listed space, the listed property has had a terrible, terrible 8 or 9 years. You've made no money in listed property. But suddenly, with Eskom starting to improve its efficiency and the interest rates starting to dip downwards, and I think that the decline in economic activity was sort of coming to a halt. Was it already a good time about a year ago to start buying or start nibbling on the property market? If interest rates continue, if this scenario continues going forward, first of all, the GNU holds, interest rates keep on coming down, economic activity picks up a little bit, and Eskom can produce reliable power, I think the listed property space is a place to be as an institutional investor or even a retired investor looking for a very nice predictable capital growth and income. On the individual residential side, you've got to look at the municipality in the area where you're buying before you decide. And unfortunately, there are very few areas in the Cape where I would consider buying, but I have been buying in the Cape Town itself, the Paarl region. Those are two areas that have been doing extremely well, much better than the rest of the country, and that will continue. The migration to the Cape from all parts of the country is actually understated. I don't think people understand how many people have moved down to the Cape. I don't think we're adding up all the heads and families. And you can see it in the traffic in Cape Town. It is astonishing how complex traffic is now in the Western Cape, from Bellville straight through to Cape Town, the Atlantic seaboard, southern suburbs of Cape Town, even areas outside of Cape Town, Paarl, Stellenbosch, Somerset West. There's just too much money flowing down. The rest of the country...
And you think the trend is set to continue that movement towards the Western Cape?
I think the Western Cape is in a very fortunate situation. I was in Hermanus for a little investment conference not so long ago, and I sat there in the middle of Hermanus before the event, and I noticed the buses after buses of tourists coming in, and there were Chinese tourists and Indian tourists and who knows from where, Germans and the Scandinavians. The Western Cape has got the added benefit of a tremendous amount of money coming in via tourism, which is stimulating the tourism industry, and, of course, wealthy people from Europe who come and live 6 or 7 months of the year in South Africa. That is helping to support the market there, plus the flow of people from the rest of the country. So Cape Town is a separate province as far as residential property is concerned. The rest of the country, up north, I'm afraid to say, it's as dead as a dodo. It is unbelievably poor. It is just nothing happening in the upper end of the market where there was a lot of activity many years ago.
I do want to just go back to the international space and to Tesla, which came out with results last week. Alec was having a conversation with Walter Aylett from Aylett & Co. and also pulled in Cy Jacobs from 361 Asset Management. Both of them believe that Tesla is way overvalued. What is your stance?
I don't know enough about Tesla to try and have a battle of minds with Cy Jacobs and Walter Aylett. I'm not smart enough. And I look at this and I've been watching what Elon Musk has been doing with his companies. And I've been reading many, many reports that it's not an automotive company. It's a software company. I mean, if you just look what's coming down the line with these robo taxis, I would be very hesitant to not have Tesla in my portfolio. I happened to visit the Tesla factory in 2017. It was an investment tour organized many years ago, and we visited the Tesla factory and we had a presentation on Tesla. And, you know, at that stage, I realized we have to start buying Teslas. I will not sell my Teslas. I don't care what they say. With all due respect, as we say in the business, I am not smart enough, but I am not selling my Teslas. No ways. I mean, we're dealing with Elon Musk, who just lives on another planet. So I would politely disagree with those gentlemen.
Magnus Haystack, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us here on biznews.com.
Thank you, Bronwyn. Have a nice week.